Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Ezra, the last one before Pesach, God willing. And we are learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. We are in chapter 6, up to sentence 6. The Jews have been building the second Beis HaMikdash since year 2 of King Darius. However, Tatnai, Pecha of the region, turns up and says, "Who allowed you to do this? Where are your papers?" And the Jews didn't have their papers. So he sent back to headquarters saying, "What's the story here? Who licensed this?" And headquarters digs around, and finally, in the city of Ahmata Hamadan, the capital of Media at some point, of Madai, they succeed in finding what seems to be a summary of Cyrus's original order, or part of Cyrus's original order, and everything makes sense. The Jews are building. King Cyrus told them that they should build. So now we get King Darius's message to Tatnai, chapter 6, sentence 6. He says, "Ke'an, and now, Tatnai pachas avar nara shesar boznai uchnov azon. Tatnai, as well as all of his allies, avar sechoye di bavar nara, all the officials of this region beside the river, rechikin havo min tama. Stay far away from there. You have no business there. Shvoku la'avidas beis elokadech. Leave this construction of the house of God. Don't get involved in this. L'sava Yehudaye beis elokadech yivnon al asrei. Let the elders of Judea build the house of God." He also refers to the pachas Yehudaye. Unclear. You could read that as part of the earlier part of the sentence or the latter part of the sentence. Either it's addressing Tatnai as the pacha of the region that includes the Jews, or alternatively, it is a reference to Zerubbabel and the elders who are going to build the house of God. In any case, he says, "Let them go, let them build, stop bothering the Jews." And then he adds, "Umini sim te'im." And he says, "I am giving the following orders. L'madi sa'avdunim sava Yehudaya ilech l'mivne beis elokadech." This is what you're going to do with these Jews who are building this house. Umi nichse malka dimidas avar nahara asparna nifkasa, I should say, to have a misyava la guvraya ilech di la levatala. He says, "I have news for you. This is what you're going to do with those Jewish elders. You are going to give them from the taxes that are collected in Aver Hanahar, midas avar nahara, minda below." We talked about before that it was one of the taxes. "I actually want you to immediately turn over tax revenue to these Jews who are building the second Beis HaMikdash. It'll help them. It'll keep their construction from having to halt. They'll have all the money they need. Uma chashchan. And what's missing from anything they need? Make sure you provide it. And not only for the construction. Ubnei torin v'dichrin v'imrin la'alavan le'laka shemaya. I want you to provide birds. I want you to provide rams. I want you to provide sheep to be brought as burnt offerings to the God of the heavens. Chintin, malach, chamar, umshach. I want you to provide wheat. I want you to provide salt. I want you to provide wine. I want you to provide oil. Kimei markanaya de birushleim. Whatever is asked for by the Kohanim of Jerusalem, lehave misyehev lahom, let it be given to them. Yom beyom, day by day. Di la shalu. It should never be halted. Let nothing be done wrong. Make sure it's given to them. I want them to bring offerings to the God of the heavens. And they should daven for the life of the king and the life of his sons. And by the way, another part to my order. If anybody fails to fulfill this command, take wood from his house and hang him on it. And let his house be destroyed. And the God whose name is established there, Yemagar kol melech va'amdi yishlach yidei la'ashnaya l'chabala beis elaka deich di birushalem. Let he crush any king in any nation who sends forth a hand to damage the house of God in Jerusalem. Ana daryavesh sames te'im. I, Darius, give this order, asparna yisavid, and it should be fulfilled immediately. Wow. How do you like that? And then that's an ally for you. What in the world is going on? You know, why is Darius so excited to build this and so firm in his support? And like, wow, you read that and you're like, whoa, what is this about? So the simple answer is going to be found in the last sentence in chapter 6, in which it's going to say, V'heisev lev melech Ashur aleihem. God turned the heart of the king of Assyria. He's not the king of Assyria. We'll talk about that when we get there, God willing. But God turns his heart. The answer is, just like Hashem inspired Cyrus to send the Jews back in the first place, so too Hashem is inspiring Darius in this regard. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, we're going to see, doesn't seem to think so. Doesn't seem to think that's what's going on. Perhaps because it thinks God would not violate Darius's free will entirely. Maybe. I don't know. It is worth noting that in Tanakh, sometimes Hashem replaces bad figures, and sometimes Hashem uses bad figures for good. Maybe that depends on their internal nature. But nonetheless, the Gemara we're going to see does not think that Darius is just doing this because Hashem is sending him to do it. At least he doesn't think he's doing it because Hashem is sending him to do it. So what else could it be? So one possibility is it's religious motivation. He is polytheistic, and he accepts Hashem as part of that, right? Maybe like Cyrus, he has a sense of divine mission. God is sending me. Could be he's sincere. This also would fit with the Midrashim that say that this Darius is actually the offspring of Esther and Ahasuerus. Right? That this is, you know, the type of thing that you'll get from somebody who is the son of Esther. Maybe. Completely different way to look at his motivation is that it is political. Remember I said that there were revolts in around this time in the empire. So maybe he's trying to satisfy the Jews in ways that aren't going to cost him much. That could be. It's certainly cheaper to do this than to fight a war. It could be that it's honor for his predecessor, Cyrus. The Malbim makes this suggestion. Now that Darius knows that Cyrus ordered this, so he's going to do it. I have seen articles suggesting that there was bad blood between Cyrus and Darius. I don't know. Now, all of this could really fit with sentence 22, which says that Hashem told him to do it, because even if Hashem told him to do it, like we said with Cyrus, we don't know that he's aware that Hashem is sending him to do it. So in other words, Hashem sends him to do it, but what does he think he's doing? Maybe he thinks he's doing it for religious reasons. Maybe he thinks he's doing it for political reasons. Maybe he thinks he's doing it in order to honor Cyrus. What's really happening, though, is that Hashem sent him. Last approach within this also could be under Hashem manipulating him, is that he's doing it selfishly. And that's what's found in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Gimel Amud Beis. This requires some explanation of the Gemara, but I think it's worth it. The alternative is waiting till after Pesach, so I'm going to do it now. So the Gemara has calendar issues. The Gemara establishes there that when we have legal documents, Jewish kings start a new year in Nisan. So if you are working with a legal document and you want to date it based on the Jewish kings, your new year starts always in Nisan. Non-Jewish kings start the new year, on the other hand, in Tishrei. Yeah, keep in mind, the year can start at some point other than the start of month number one. There's nothing in Judaism that says that a year begins the first day of Tishrei. There's nothing about it. Our months are lunar. The years, you know, don't have so much significance, except that Nisan is supposed to be the first month for us. But that doesn't mean the year has to begin then. So Jewish kings start their new year in Nisan. However, non-Jewish kings start the new year at the beginning of Tishrei. So says the Gemara. Well, Rabbi Yosef in the Gemara has a problem. Because in the book of Haggai, chapter 1, sentence 15, a particular event happens in the sixth month in year 2 of Darius. Then, in Haggai chapter 2, sentence 1, we have an event take place in the seventh month, without noting any change in years. If he's not a Jewish king, right? Darius, we assume, is not a Jewish king. Granted the Midrashim about him being from Esther, nonetheless, he's not a Jewish king. So if he's not a Jewish king, then shouldn't his year have turned over? Shouldn't this event in the seventh month be in year 3, not in year 2? because Tishrei, I should make that clear, is the seventh month. So if an event takes place in the seventh month, it's really a new year. Why didn't the year change? Why is it still year two? So the Gemara's answer is because Cyrus was a good king. That's the Gemara's answer, which creates two problems. Problem number one is we were talking about Darius, not Cyrus. Where did you just throw in Cyrus being a good king? Who cares about Cyrus being a good king? That's problem number one. Problem number two, you're telling me that now with Darius, Cyrus, we're now counting from Nisan. We're not counting from Tishrei. However, in Ezra, chapter 6, sentence 15, we didn't get there yet. It's going to talk about the Beis HaMikdash being completed on the third of the month of Adar of the sixth year of King Darius. We know that Ezra leaves Bavel 1 year later, Adar of year 7. And Ezra chapter 7, sentence 8, has him arrive in Jerusalem in the month of Av, still in year 7. So you have an event taking place in Adar of year 7, and then you have an event taking place in Av of year 7. But if you're really telling me he's a righteous king, and for him we count from Nisan, like the Jewish kings, then it should have turned over. It should have become year 8, because Nisan is between Adar and Av. That is our problem in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. In the earlier part of his career, in year 2, we're counting for Darius, you're telling me, based on Nisan. But later in his career, it's not working by Nisan. So what happened? And by the way, again, you were talking about Darius, suddenly you threw in that Cyrus was a good king. So the Gemara's answer to question number one is that we call Darius Cyrus sometimes because he was good like Cyrus. Whether that means he's the same person or not, we discussed that briefly a couple of weeks ago. I'm not reopening that question. Rashi seems to take it they are literally meant to be the same person. Rashi in Ezra chapter 4, but Rashi in Ezra chapter 6 does not say that. Rashi and Tosfos on the Gemara do not say that. It means that Darius is called Cyrus sometimes because he was a good king like Cyrus. Look at him. Look what he did here. Ah, but what about the fact that in year 2, he was counted based on Nisan, and in year 7, he's counted based on something else, Tishrei, apparently. Says the Gemara, he went bad. How do you know he went bad? The Gemara picks up on two things. Number one, the fact that he said he wants them to bring offerings and to pray for his family. Having them daven for his family shows that what he did was selfish. It wasn't about honoring Cyrus that he sent the Jews back, funded the Beis HaMikdash and funded the Karbanos. It wasn't to honor Cyrus. It wasn't out of religious motivation. It wasn't out of a political calculation about the revolts and all of that. That wasn't it. He was doing it selfishly, says the Gemara, because he wanted them to daven for him. So the Gemara says, but that's okay. You're allowed to give tzedakah and daven that in the merit of the tzedakah you should get something. So the Gemara, as explained in Rashi, says, yeah, but he wouldn't have done it if not for the reward. He only wanted it because of the reward. That was one sign that he was selfish. The other sign that he was selfish is the fact that he put wood in the walls to be able to burn it down. Ah, but didn't Shlomo do that in the Beis HaMikdash? Yeah, but Shlomo embedded the wood in ways that wouldn't leave the building vulnerable to arson. Of course, the original Cyrus also had wood in it. The Tosfos discusses that. Look at Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah Daled Amud Aleph. So that's a second attempt. Then there's a third attempt to show he went bad, which is separate. It has to do with the pasuk in Nehemiah we're not dealing with right now. So again, Darius is empowering the Jews to go back. He is funding them. He's funding their karbanos. He's giving them tax dollars to support them. It's really amazing what he's doing here. Driven by Hashem seems clear from chapter 6, sentence 22. It seems pretty explicit. But what does he think he's doing? What is his personal motivation? Could be anything. Could be a religious motivation. Could be a political motivation. Could be honoring Cyrus. Or, as the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, he's actually doing it for selfish reasons. Why do I have a desire to say that Darius was doing this selfishly? Like, why are we trying to do that to him? So it could be that it's part of a general cynicism about human leaders. Al tiftachu bin divim, like, don't trust them. Could be. Could be because here's this Persian king who's doing wonderful things, much, much better than so many of our kings, so we don't like that. Or it could be because he hasn't been helpful until this moment in time, right? It's not like we've seen him do wonderful things until now. Or maybe it's just because we see Hashem as the prime mover and we don't want to distract from that and rely on him. There's more to say about his command that the tax dollars should go to support the building and everything else. So God willing, after Pesach, we'll look a little bit more at his command for the building of the Beis HaMikdash and continue from there. Chag Kasher v'Sameach.